thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Come hungry?
Yeah.
Come hungry?
Yeah.
Oh, God's so good. God's so good. Oh, God's so good. God is so good. Praise God. God's so good. God is so good. God loves you so much that He provides you with services Wednesdays, Sundays.
Yes.
Just to love on you.
Yeah. Amen.
And then you have the opportunity to go home and fellowship with Him. Yeah. Every day.
Right.
Every day. He loves you so much. He's not trying to hide Himself from you.
That's right.
He's not. He just said, hey, I'm right here.
That's right. Amen.
Call on me.
Yeah.
Call on me.
Yeah.
I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So when you think you're alone and you're in a dark hour, the Lord says, call on me. I'm here for you.
Amen.
My name's bigger than what you're going through.
That's right.
Amen. 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 All right, so we're going to do a little survey here. I'm going to ask you guys to raise your hand. Does anybody have an older or younger sibling? Raise your hand. Man, that knocked out most of y'all. Does anybody have a spouse that didn't raise your hand? All right, just keep on raising your hand if it applies to you. Anybody have kids? How about a pet? did I cover everybody? Did everybody raise their hand at least once? All right. Tonight we're going to talk about check your emotions at the door. And the only reason why I had everybody raise your hand is because then you know how it feels to lose your emotions at least once. I've had a dog, I had sisters and brother, I have kids, and there is plenty of opportunities to lose my cool.
Yeah.
You know, I'll give some examples. I'll tell them myself. This is obviously when I was little. My sister, she made me mad one day. So to get her back, and we were little. I mean, we were little, like five, you know. So I soaped the stair of the bathtub so she'll slip when she got out. My emotions got the best of me. You know, me and my sister, we love each other. We have a great relationship. There's another time I was spouting off at the mouth at her, and she pushed me out of a tree. When I got pushed out of the tree, I was hanging upside down by a branch, and then my mom, she come looking out the window, and she sees her son hanging upside down from a branch. The branch broke head first into a root. I blacked out. And then, so they rushed me to the hospital, and then they got mad because I was trying to do wheelies in the wheelchair. So then my mom, she lost control. She lost her emotions. Just examples. Another time, I was running my mouth at my sister, you know. She slammed my head in the refrigerator door. I mean, we got tons of stories. I'm not going to go through them all, but they're all examples of someone losing control. And then since my sister's not here, I could just blame her. But tonight we're going to talk about two things that could charge your emotions and how to deal with them.
Amen.
First one's going to be your weaknesses. So if you turn with me to John chapter 12, we're going to talk about weaknesses. And it's important to keep our emotions under control, because sometimes we'll make decisions based on our emotions, and we won't be able to hear what the Lord's trying to say to us.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
And a lot of times what seems good to the flesh, it usually ends in death. Or someone getting hurt.
Sure.
You know, living in the flesh is a bad area.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you don't want to get caught up in that in any area of your life. You know?
Yeah, that's right.
It's dangerous. It's dangerous. But John 12, we're going to start at verse 3. It says, this is Jesus. This is actually the second time that he's got anointed with oil. He was over, you know, at Mary and Martha and Lazarus's. And it says, we're starting verse 3, it says, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard. I'm trying not to laugh, but spikenard.
Yeah, that's good.
All right. I think that's going on clearance at Bonton. Yeah. Spikenard. Very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Verse 4 says, "Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him." I think that's funny too, that they already mentioned that he's going to betray him before he actually betrays him, but that's a different. Verse 5, it says, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" Verse 6, "And he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had a bag and bared what was put in there." Go back up to verse 3. It says, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" Judas is saying, why? Why wasn't this sold and given to the poor? And drop down to verse 6. It says, "Then he said, not that he cared for the poor." So many times we can say something that seems very spiritual, but we have the wrong motive behind it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, sure.
It says right there in verse 6, he didn't care for the poor. And why didn't he care for the poor? Because he was worried about padding his own pocket.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
It was a weakness that he had. I mean, how many times not saying that we do that, but is there times that we can think of that we say something that might seem super spiritual, but we have an ulterior motive?
Oh, yeah. Come on.
You know, we know how to talk. We're taught very well.
Yes.
But do you know how to live when you leave this church?
That's exactly
behind closed doors. Do you know how to live?
That's right. Yeah.
Because if you don't, you have the wrong motives, regardless of how you speak.
That's right.
You know? You wonder why your words are not working? Well, check up what you're doing behind closed doors.
Exactly. Good.
Because you can have everybody in the world agreeing with you, but if you're slaying that with your actions of what you're doing at home, don't blame God.
Right. That's right.
So many people, they're quick to blame God. Well, God, how come this ain't working? God, how come that's working? I'm saying the right things. Okay, that's good that you're saying the right things, but are you doing what you know?
Exactly. That's right.
Are you doing it? Are you doing? That's good that you hear, and you're going to hear prime rib every time you come here.
Yeah.
You know, Pastor Brad and myself, we're just a salad bar. Yes, we're healthy, but we're not the main course.
Yeah.
You know, Pastor Tim's the main course.
That's right. That's right.
Pastor Tim's the main course.
That's right.
And it's an honor to fill in.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we're not the main course.
Yeah, that's right.
So come back and hear Pastor Tim.
That's right.
He's the pastor of this house.
Yeah. Amen.
Praise God. But yeah, I mean, I can't get past that. I mean, our words. You know, I'll go over to Luke 6. This isn't in the overhead. Praise God. God's good. Luke 6. And we'll start in verse 47. It says, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my words, saying, and does them, I will show you whom he's like." Verse 48 says, "He's like a man which built his house and digged deep and laid a foundation on a rock. And when the floods arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and he could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Go back up to verse 47. It says, "Whoever cometh to me," so one, we have to come to the Lord. It says, "and here's my saying." Okay, so you hear the word. But what's the key point now? "And does them." I'll show you who he's like. In verse 48, it says he built his foundation upon a rock. Now drop down to 49. It says, "But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great."
Yeah.
What's the difference between building on a rock and building on earthly things? Someone who does the word.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
Because they both obviously heard the word. They both dealt with the same storm. One decided to do the word, and the other one just heard the word.
That's right.
Now I'll just throw this out here too. Why don't we start practicing what our pastor teaches us?
That's it. Oh, yeah.
Can we make a habit of doing that? Pastor gives us our help Wednesday and Sunday to problems that we have, but we don't practice what he says. And no, we're not, you know, no, we're not practicing what he says, because we know pastor preaches the word, so ultimately it's God's word.
Yeah, yeah.
You still got to go home and do your homework. But he's given you a pretty good direction of where to look. So why don't we start practicing the word?
That's right.
If you have a bad habit, here's a good one. Practice the word.
Yes.
Change that bad habit for a good habit.
Amen.
Practice the word.
Amen. That's right.
It's so simple.
That's right.
But notice this too. He built the house upon earthly things. Could that be a job? Could that be a relationship?
Sure.
Could that be a friend? Or we even go even farther. How many friends I have on Facebook? I want everybody to like me on Facebook, so who cares? Who cares? You know, who cares? I don't care. I don't care if anybody likes me. But I know God loves me. I know God loves me. So why am I worried about what other people think about me? I'm only concerned about what God thinks about me. God made me to be me.
That's right.
So I'm going to be me.
That's right. Amen.
I mean, why be fake?
Oh.
Why be fake?
Yeah.
It's too much work.
Yeah.
I'm a person over here, I'm a person over here, person over here. Okay, well, what happens when your friends are over here and they realize that you're not the same person?
Yeah.
You know? They're going to say, I thought you were an apple, and over here you look like a lemon. Don't even look like the same person. Don't dress the same. Don't talk the same. You know, when a certain crowd of people come around, you're not even walking in love. You think it's funny to make fun of people. Oh, look at it. Got jokes about everybody and tell you with a different crowd. Now I'll put on my suit and be holy. I'm going to play religion. We'll play religion. No, you got a relation with the Almighty God. Who cares what people think of you? And we'll go back that. We'll tie that back in. That's a weakness. I'll call it what it is. A spade's a spade. That's a weakness. So it's important to know what your weaknesses are. It's important to know what your weaknesses are. And at this point, we realize that, we're not there anymore, but back over there in John, you don't have to turn there, that Judas had a problem being a thief. He had the wrong motive, and he was a thief. But he said the right thing. So we'll jump over and turn over to Mark 14. God's good. You're getting help. I'm getting help. God's so good. Just loving on us. Mark 14. And we'll start in verse 3. This is the third time that Jesus has gotten anointed with oil. We're going to start off in verse 3. It says, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard. There's that spikenard again. It must have been popular over there. Made with Dead Sea water? I don't know. But it was very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, Why was this waste of ointment made? Why was this wasted? You wasted it. You wasted the ointment. Anything that was sacrificed for the Lord is not a waste.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's not a waste.
That's right.
Anything. Your time.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
It's not a waste.
That's right.
You know, the family time that you're missing. Yes, it's good to have family time, but if you're doing it for the Lord, it's not a waste.
That's right.
you know, pastor talks about, you know, missing church because of a job. No, be a church.
That's right.
It's not a waste.
That's right. Amen.
It's not a waste. You know, serving in a capacity that you're not seeing. It's not a waste. It's not a waste. There's nothing that you're going to do for the Lord that's going to be overlooked.
Right. Amen.
And if the Lord tells you to do something, when you do it, you're always going to have the equipment to do it.
That's right. Amen.
He's always going to equip you to do what he tells you to do.
Yes.
It's our job to find out how to be skillful in it.
That's right.
But verse 5, it says, "For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her." So again, they try to cover the wrong motive with a spiritual thing. Test 2. You know, they had an opportunity to take the test again. The same exact test, matter of fact. They already knew how much the ointment cost. But again, they had the wrong motives. But this time they go a step farther. And it says, "And they murmured against her." And, you know, one, okay, you have the wrong motive, but now you're spreading discord. Because if he's murmuring against her, that means someone else is going to hear it.
Sure.
And I'll go ahead and say this. If you're in leadership or you're in a place of influence, don't murmur, because it's going to spread like a wildfire.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
If you're in charge of something, the people under you is only going to go as far as the leader can. You know? If your leader's sitting there complaining about everything, guess where that's going to spread down to? And that leader's going to scratch his head and say, "I wonder why everybody's complaining." It's a reflection of how you're leading. And that goes for anything. You know, not just the leadership in church, but even how about like the leadership of your house? You know, what happens if you're complaining about your bills, complaining that you don't have enough, complaining that, hey, I'm giving too much time to the ministry? How are your kids going to raise up? Because if I'm home complaining about how much time I'm at church, and when my kids get old enough to serve in church, how are they going to feel about it?
Right.
Serving in church is an honor. It's not a burden.
That's right. Amen.
And I would refuse to let my kids ever think that serving the Lord is a burden. It's a blessing, and that's where their help's at.
Amen.
But I refuse. I refuse. You know? Church always comes first. God loves people. We are the church. We're Christ's body. We're Christ's body. You know? We're Christ's body. But it will. It'll spread like a wildfire. And it's almost like a cancer, man. It'll take over everything.
Sure.
You know? And then once you form an opinion that you're not supposed to have to begin with, who are you going to share that opinion with?
Yeah.
Are you going to rally the troops? You know? Charge! I'm going to go against my pastor! I got 4 people that have the same belief. That's good, but you know what? Pastor's the one that God gave the vision. You know? Now, if you pastor your own church and you're the head of that house, or, you know, you're the head of your household, well, God will give you the vision of where you're at,
sure.
What you're the head of.
Yeah.
But if you ain't the head of it, God's not going to give you the vision for it.
Right.
Our job is to fulfill the vision of the man ahead of us. And that's Pastor Tim. He's the one with the vision.
Yes. That's right.
Our job is to make sure that, you know, it gets done, because that's what God told him to do.
Yeah.
Praise God.
It
says what? Training for the saints so that we can go out and do the ministry.
That's right. Sure.
Church not getting filled up, or are you going out there and telling people about it?
Yeah, come on.
Are you going to blame pastor about that too?
Yeah.
Pastor, how come you weren't out there getting people? Well, because I trained you doing this.
That's right.
I got this going on. You don't see that. You don't see the late nights that he's up here praying for you. You don't see that. The phone calls that he's taking so he can be there with you. You don't see that. That one person might, but does everybody else see it? No. Don't form an opinion. Praise God. Praise God. But Judas, he started to form an opinion, and he murmured against her. You know, I can almost hear what he's saying. Man, that's twice that Jesus wasted ointment. Man, that could have been at least a half a year's salary in my pocket. I could have padded my pocket. Man, I could have, and that's what he was worried about. He's a thief.
Sure.
He wasn't worried about helping the poor. He was a thief.
Yeah.
He's worrying about the latest and greatest shoes.
Oh, come on.
You know, he was worried about a bigger size rim for his car.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Some jewelry.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a bigger boat. That's what Judas is thinking about. He's like, man, I could do this. You know what? There's no such thing as shortcuts. There's no such thing as shortcuts. You have to put in the work to get the result.
Yes. Oh, yes.
You know, Pastor talks about it too. You know, there's no pill.
That's right.
You know, that's going to make you do right.
That's right.
That's the responsibility on you. Ooh.
Yeah.
Did I say responsibility? Yes, I did say responsibility.
Right.
You know. That means that we need to pull up our pants,
yeah,
and put our hand to something.
Yeah.
Start plowing something.
Yeah.
You ain't going to get a handout.
Right.
You know, God's already given you everything to do.
Yeah.
So do it.
Right.
So drop down to Mark 14. So we see that, you know, Judas's emotions are getting charged. You know, he missed out on some extra money.
Oh, yeah.
Money. Greed.
Oh,
greed.
Sure.
We'll get there. Mark 14, drop down to verse 10. It says, "And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priest to betray him unto them." Verse 11 says, "And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him." Go back up to verse 10. Judas, you let your emotions get the best of you.
Yeah.
It says he went unto the chief priest. The chief priest didn't have to go look for him. Judas was so emotionally charged that he went to the chief priest to betray him.
Yeah.
Judas, why? Over a little bit of money. And verse 11, you can see that it is for a little bit of money. It says, "When they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him." Wow. Judas sold out for his weakness.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Judas sold out for his weakness.
Yeah.
He had a weak area for money, for greed. And for a little bit of money, he was willing to put an innocent man under the bus. Over greed. Because he didn't get a little bit of money in his pocket, he is willing to put an innocent man under the bus. Do we do that? Do we do that? Is there things that we have schemed in our head that, all right, well, we know this person's going to get in trouble, so we'll point this out so we can get a promotion or we can get farther? Or if someone tells you, hey, can you go tell someone so-and-so to do this? And you said, nah, you know what? I'm not going to be the middleman. You go do it yourself looking for your own praise? Are you doing stuff dirty to try to get ahead of where you're supposed to be? Are you throwing innocent people under the bus to get personal gain? That's not doing the word. That's building upon earthly things. And that earthly thing, it said over there in Luke, that is a great ruin. A great ruin. I mean, think about that. You build a house on top of on sand, and when that sand washes out, what you got left? Nothing. Nothing. So you might be top dog for a little bit, but what happens when that earthly foundation wipes out? We were talking about that job. What happens when you get fired? Or they cut hours back that you so depended on? What's going to happen? Are you going to withstand that storm and stand? Or were you built on earthly things? And it's only a matter of time before it falls, because once it starts sinking,
that's right.
There's only so far it can sink before it destroys. You know? It wasn't properly built. That's good. It was built from the outside in instead of the inside out.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, as a Christian, we need to change the inside, and then the inside is going to reflect on the outside.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know,
amen.
Buying a suit is not going to make you rich.
That's right.
You know, Brother Chris D'Amico says, he says, sitting in a garage does not make you a car.
Right. That's right.
It doesn't. It doesn't. But notice what happened here. Satan used Judas's weakness to get to his leadership. That was the plan.
Yeah.
How can we take out Jesus?
That was it.
How can we take out Jesus? He looked, he said, nope. I'm not going to point at nobody. I'll point up here. There's the weak link.
Yeah, that's it. Come on.
You see that? That's not going to withstand pressure. A little bit of pressure will break that.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, come on.
Money was the missing link, or the weak link.
Yes, that's right.
Material stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we need to know our weaknesses, and we need to build our faith up in the weak areas, because where do you think you're going to be attacked at? Satan's still roaming around. He's like pushing on stuff. Is this week? Oh, that has a little bit of give. Is this week? He knows where to go back to now. He's just looking for a weaker link than that. Once he didn't find none, he knows where to go back if he didn't take care of it. Don't be the weak link. You know, there's things out there, it's called familiar spirits, so it's not really a surprise when he knows where he can get you at. You know, I lived for the world, and the things that got me in the world are the same things I get tempted with now. But you know why he doesn't win? Because my faith is built up there. I got word on it now. I'm not a weak link no more. I put extra supports up so I don't have no give, and I'm not going to give in the pressure. I have word to stand on. And that's a rock. That's a rock. There's no solid rock that can give in the pressure, right? I mean, over time, just slight pressure, that rock ain't going to break. So don't be the weak link. So that's the first thing, you know, that we can get emotionally charged off our weaknesses. You know, because what happens if someone even points out your weakness and we get offended? You know? No. It says God chastens all that. The Lord chastens who he loves.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're getting corrected about it, he's loving on you.
Yeah.
He wants you to get that extra support there so you're not the weak link.
Yeah.
So don't be the weak link, because that's one way. And there's only two, but there's many ways. But these are just two. The second way that we can get emotionally charged is pride.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Number one is weakness. Number two is pride. Now you're in Mark. Let's turn over to Mark 8. God's so good. God is so good. Mark 8. And we're starting 31. Actually, let me tell you a little bit just to put in content. Jesus is asking the disciples, he's like, who am I? Who am I? You know, some people say you're John the Baptist. And Peter says, you're the Christ. And Jesus says, very good. You know, flesh and blood didn't show that to you, but my Heavenly Father.
Right.
So Peter is on a spiritual high because he heard from God. You know, congratulations. We're Christians. We're all supposed to hear from God.
Yeah.
But he's on a spiritual high, you know. I get excited, too. When I get something right, I'm like, yeah. It's a faith builder. It's a faith builder. You know, you're excited. You're like, I can hear from God. I can hear from God. I get excited, you know. I'm telling to myself. But it's true. You know, we're supposed to hear from God.
Yeah.
So Peter hears from God. We'll start back in 31 now. It says, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and to be killed and after 3 days rise again." Hallelujah that he rose again.
Yeah.
Verse 32, it says, "And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him." Verse 33, it says, "But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou severest not things that be of God, but the things that be of men." We'll go up to verse 32. But verse 31, Jesus is telling his disciples what must happen. He's like, this is what needs to happen. He's laying out the plan for him. He's laying out the vision. He's laying out the vision. But verse 32, Peter didn't like the vision. And since he was on a spiritual high, he thought he had the ability to speak into his leader's life. And Peter wanted to change the vision of the man of God. We talked about that already. I mean, it was exciting. Peter was on a spiritual high. But that still doesn't give you permission to add or take away from the vision. But Peter thought he could. And he took Jesus and began to rebuke him. Wow. I mean, I couldn't even imagine taking Pastor inside and be like, "Pastor, you know what? I don't like where this church is going. You need to change some stuff around here." You know? I can't even imagine doing that. Oh my goodness. "Pastor, you know, I'm just not completely on your vision. You know, I think you might have missed God on this one." Or going up to Pastor Michael and being like, "You know what? I think you missed it when God told you to plant churches." That's laughable. But this is what Peter was doing to Jesus. "Jesus, are you sure you have to go do all that stuff?" He should have been excited when it... Go back up a verse. You know what? I could see Peter... This is what Peter should have done. "Okay, well, I don't like that he's going to have to suffer many things. I don't like that he's going to be rejected by the elders. You know, chief priests, scribes... Or I don't even like the fact that he's going to be killed. But hallelujah that he's going to raise again."
Yeah.
You know what? There's things that we might not like about our pastor's vision. That's for us to keep our mouth shut. But the ultimate goal is for people to get saved.
Amen.
The ultimate goal is to get people saved. Risen again from hell. Because you know what? How did you feel when you got translated out of hell? How did you feel when you got a new father? God gave Pastor Tim the vision so we can reach this region. God gave Pastor Michael a vision to reach this region. And the goal is to get people saved. Hallelujah. Is anybody glad that they gave their life to the Lord? Now, how cool was it if everybody gave their heart to the Lord? Jesus rose again for you, so we could do that.
Yes. Amen.
That was the vision. I will raise again with the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Death can't hold me down. My God is bigger than that. My God's bigger than that. My God's bigger than that. My God's bigger than that. My God is way bigger than that. Way bigger than that. Way bigger than that. Oh, you know, this might seem a little sketchy. No, my God's bigger than that.
Right.
You know, oh, I might lack in this area if I give a little bit extra to the church. No, you know what? My God's bigger than that. My God's bigger than that. You know what? My car broke down. No, my God's bigger than that. My God's bigger than that. God's big. But you have to make God big to you. Because I know how big God is to me. But you can't live off my faith.
That's right.
God's got to be big to you.
Yes.
You have to have the revelation that God can do this for you.
That's right.
Amen.
Don't be one of them people sitting on the sideline and be like, well, it's nice that God could do that for that person.
Yes.
It's nice for God to do it for that person. No, make God big and let him do it for you.
Yes. Amen.
Let God be big in your life. You know, you're taught well. Do it.
Oh, yes.
Do it. Let God be big to you.
Amen.
You know, you're going through something and you're praying about it. It's only making you stronger.
That's right.
It's only making you stronger.
Right.
Make God big to you. Stop looking at other people and run your own race.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen.
Run your own race. It's a marathon, not a sprint either.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as trying God.
Yeah.
You're not going to get nothing in the mail and say, hey, please try this. You know, for a limited time, you can have a free 60-day trial. No, this is a lifestyle. This is a lifestyle. You have a lifetime guaranteed. Same price paid. Jesus' blood. That's enough. How cool is that? You didn't even have to pay for it.
That's right.
Lifetime guaranteed, same price. Jesus' blood.
Yes.
That's what makes you righteous.
Amen.
Praise God.
God's good.
All right, let's jump over to John 18. So we've seen here that Peter got emotionally charged because he heard from God. He was on a spiritual high. But that's not right. And you know it wasn't right, because whenever Jesus says, get behind me, Satan, that's not a compliment. It's not. It is what it is. But we'll go over to John 18. Verse 10, and this is Peter again. You know, this is during the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, Jesus is getting ready to get arrested. Verse 10, it says, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut his ear, or his right ear off. The servant's name was Malchus? I don't know. Was I close? What was it? Malchus? Malchus. That was way closer than what I said. But check this out. Peter was with Jesus at this time, and he was willing to die for Jesus. He cut a high priest's ear off. And the high priest wasn't the only one there, because in verse 12 it says the band, I don't know if it was a rock band, the captain, and officer of the Jews. So obviously, they weren't alone.
Yeah.
And at this time, Peter was willing to die for Jesus. Willing to die for Jesus. And then, you know, later on, Jesus gets taken away, and Peter denies Christ three times. But a couple hours ago, he was cutting some dude's ear off. It's funny. I mean, here we go. We'll go with this. How many people is playing Superman at church, but they're forgetting their cape at home? This is what Peter was doing. He said, I got Jesus here, right here with me. I'm invincible. But then when he got away from Jesus, he couldn't even admit that he knew him. And people were trying to make it easy for him. Oh, didn't you know? Ain't you that person that knew Jesus? They already knew who he was. But he was confused who himself was. He didn't even know who he was. So, again, are we doing that? We know who we are in Christ in church, but do we know who we are in Christ out of church? And again, that goes back, what are we doing in church compared to what we're doing behind closed doors? Anybody could be Superman among family. That's when it's easy. If you can't do it here, there's something wrong with you. We're all family. You know, we're all doing the same thing. We're all pressing towards the same goal.
Yes.
But can you do it at home? You know, you can't take pastor home. You know, we're not selling, you know, pastor in a pocket here. You know, we're not, you know, he's not with you all the time, but Jesus is, you know. So again, that goes back to, you have to make God big in your life. You have to realize that Jesus is with you at all times. There is no time of being alone. He bought you with a price. You're his anyways. You're his anyways. I mean, just be the same person. That's what it comes down to. It. Don't be fake. Don't be fake. You know, Jesus talked about that in Revelations, Church of Laodicea. He said, hot or cold. Don't be lukewarm. You're confusing people. You're confusing people. You know, one day you're all about the Lord. Next day you're all about whatever you do in the world. He's like, you're giving me a bad name. Jesus is saying, I'm not fake. So why are my body parts acting fake? You know, I think of like a mannequin? You know what I mean? They're not real people. They're not. They might wear clothes that we wear.
Sure.
They might wear the same clothes, but they ain't real people. You ain't fooling nobody. I never walked into the store and started talking to a man again and be like, hey, you know, where's the jeans at? No. How many mannequins talk back to you? Hey, can you show me where the shoes are at? Excuse me. Shoes. I'm looking for a size 9 or 10, whatever. That ain't going to fool nobody. They might be wearing the same clothes that you wear, but they ain't going to fool nobody. So if you're going to be a Christian, be a Christian all the way. Because you ain't fooling nobody. You know, no good tree produces bad fruit. And no bad tree produces good fruit. So if you're trying to be a good tree producing bad fruit, there's no such thing. You're just a bad tree. You know? So two things that could lead to our emotions being charged. And like I said, there's many others. First one being weakness. Second one being pride. So now let's get some examples of how to overcome emotions. Turn over to Romans 8:5. It's funny, yeah. I have never seen a mannequin fool anybody. It's laughable. All right. Romans 8:5. We'll do this one in Amplified. It says, for those who are according to the flesh are controlled by its unholy desires, set their minds on, and pursue those things which gratify the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit are controlled by the desires of the Spirit, set their minds on, and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. So when you're emotionally charged and you're led by your flesh, you're going to have a fleshly result. You know, you ever just lose your cool and just, man, why is nothing going right? You're in the flesh. You know? And I've been there. You know, there's times I flipped out on my kids. They leave me plenty of chances to do it. I'm still a work in progress. Jagged edges. You know? But I'm working on it. Amen. You know, I have a son that's my sandpaper. He is smoothing my edges. Amen. So I'm nice and smooth instead of got jaggeds, you know. And it's good for us. You know, builds tough skin. You know, I'm not all like getting emotional over the smallest things. You know, stuff starts just bouncing off. You know what? It didn't matter. I know you didn't understand. I'm sorry, you know. Do it this way next time, you know, because if I'm yelling and screaming, they're going to do it again the wrong way because I never took time to explain how I wanted it done. Because a lot of times when I lose my cool, it's on something that I have an expectation in my head, but I never showed them how to do it. You know? And shame on me. You know, I tell myself I need work in that area. But I'm going to pass it eventually. You know? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is my verse. You can have it too, but that verse is mine. I didn't copyright it, so. So we need to be led by the Spirit. You know, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? You know, how many times did that save me from doing something dumb? What would Jesus do? What would Pastor do? He's a good godly example. You know, I mean, just think about it. Just right before you lose your cool, be like, what would Jesus do? 10 out of 10 times that would diffuse the situation right there. Or at least give you guidance on which way to go. You don't have to turn there, but Luke 1:38. We'll just bring these up on the overhead. This is Mary. You know, the angel came. The angel was saying, hey, you're going to have a son. Well, Mary had plenty of temptation to be emotional. I'm not married. Would be the one big thing. I'd be pregnant, unmarried. I could get stoned. You know? There's so much emotional stuff that's going back there. But what did she do? She said, be it unto me according to thy word. She took the Lord's word over her word. She didn't even argue. Because she had that chance to be emotional. And she said, you know what? I'm going to put all my emotions down and be it unto me according to thy word. She died to self and she fulfilled the Lord's plan. We'll go to Luke 4:4. This is Jesus getting tempted in the wilderness. And Jesus answered him saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Again, Jesus is being tempted. And what does he say? It is written. And then he goes a next step farther. He actually quoted the scripture that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Go down to verse 8. Same event, Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. Jesus answered and said unto him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thy serve. Again, it is written.
Yes.
It is written. He had choices. Mary had a choice.
Yeah.
And they chose the word.
That's right.
What are we choosing? Are we choosing emotions? Or are we choosing the word? Yeah. Go down to verse 12. And Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It is said.
Yes.
It is written. It is written. It is said.
Yeah.
It is said. And that's a good example of Jesus putting his emotions down. I mean, he was in the wilderness for 40 days, and the first one was tempted by food. I know if I didn't eat for 40 days, I'd be hungry. And it actually said he was hungry. But he said, you know what? Man shouldn't live by bread alone. I'm not going to live off my flesh regardless of what it's saying. I'm going to put my flesh down and live by what is written. What is written. I'll go over, you don't have to turn there, Luke 5:5. And Simon answered and said unto him, this is when Simon was on the boat toiling all night. He was tired. He was ready to go home and just fall asleep for like 3 days. Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and we have taken nothing. So that, you know, emotionally, he's like, we've been doing this over and over and over and over and over and over again, and I'm tired. I can't do this no more.
Yeah, right.
I have nothing left to give. And Jesus is like, yes, you do. Jesus said, yes, you do.
Yes.
He said, put your nets down. And this is what Peter replied to Jesus. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the nets. He could have been there all, he was there all night long, didn't catch nothing. And he could, emotions could have said, he said, you know what, Jesus? Nah, not right now. I'm too tired. I can't do this no more. I done failed at this many of times. I done failed too many times. But Jesus is like, you're not going to fail this time.
That's right.
You're not going to fail this time.
That's right.
I'm backing you.
That's right.
You have my word on it.
Yeah.
Jesus said, you got my word on it. Let that sink in. Jesus said, you got my word on it.
Yes. Amen.
What are you going through? Do you got Jesus' word on it? Because he's saying, you got my word on it.
Yes.
You got my word on it. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let the net down. And what happened after that? There's only blessing on the other side of obedience.
Oh, yes.
He had more than enough.
He
had so much, he had to call his buddies over. Hey, can we borrow your boat too? You know? So there's going to be things that Jesus is going to, hey, do this. And it might not compute in our mind at all. But you know what? He said, but my word's on it now. My word's on it. I'm going to bless you my way. You did it your way. It didn't work. Now do it my way. And watch how far I can take you.
Amen.
And we'll go ahead and finish here. Matthew 6, 38 and 39 in the Amplified. We'll start with 38. Then he said to them, my soul is very sad and deeply grieved. This is when Jesus is in the garden. Gethsemane, you know. And Jesus, he's praying. And it says, then he said to them, my soul is very sad and deeply grieved. So that I am almost dying of sorrow. This is Jesus showing emotion.
Yeah, right.
He was flesh and blood. You mean Jesus felt sorrow? And he was deeply grieved and he was sad? No, not Jesus.
Sure.
Not Jesus. But right there in the word, it says, my soul was very sad and deeply grieved. So that I was almost dying of sorrow. Verse 39. But look what Jesus does. He says, and going a little farther, he threw himself upon the ground on his face and prayed. He was getting ready to make an emotional decision, but he said, whoa, hold up. I need to pray on this first.
Yeah.
Because how many emotional decisions on the spot took us the wrong way?
Oh, yeah. Come on.
It's called impulse buy-in. Why do you think they put all the candy bars by the... by the registers when you check it out. They pull in your emotions. All that pushing the cart around, you're like, man, I need to get a reward. Look at that Kit Kat. Oh, buddy. You know? Man, that looks good. Hey, bag of chips. Slim Jim. Man. They put it there for a reason. They pull on your emotions. They do. But we need to ask God, can I afford a Kit Kat? I'm just playing. But he threw himself in prayer and saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass away from me. That shows you what Jesus' will was. He didn't want to do this. But he prayed on it. And he said, nevertheless, not what I will, not what I desire, but as you will and desire.
Yes.
So how are you going to overcome your emotions? It is written.
Yes.
You have to die to yourself and know what the Lord has you to do.
Yes.
You know, we looked at Mary, we looked at Jesus, we looked at Peter. And anytime they had an emotional decision come up, they said, no, it is written. And they stood on the word. the same word that we need to stand on.
Yes, that's right.
So if you have issues or you have trials, newsflash, they're going to come.
Yeah.
We're Christians. We're not exempt from them.
Right.
You know? We're not. But we need to know what it's written. Because what we don't know will kill us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
It will kill us. So many people go without because they don't know. So it's our job. It says study to show yourself approved.
Yeah.
Why do you study? So you can get that stuff in your brain and you apply it.
Amen.
You know, it's important for us to know. It's important.
Oh, yeah.
You know? It's important to know your weaknesses because then you have areas that you know you need your faith at.
Yeah.
You know, you have direction instead of just shooting it wherever. You're like, look, you know what? I deal with this. I need to get scriptures on this and drill them in your head.
Yeah.
If you have to say it every day of your life, so be it. It's a good confession.
Right.
I've never seen a scripture that was a bad confession. It's the word of God. It's there to help you.
Yeah.
So get that scripture or two.
Yeah.
And if you have to, first thing when I wake up, or if you have to put it here in your house, put it there in your house, or you hear, you know, CD goes over and over and over and over again, get that word.
Right.
Make it yours. You got to own it. You got to own it, you know, because your weaknesses are going to be, you know, they're going to try to get to your leadership. They're going to try to cause discord in your household, you know, within your parents, your siblings, you know, wherever you're at. We're all at different areas. But, you know, Satan's going to use your weaknesses just to wreak havoc around you. So we need to get it in check. Also, the second thing is pride, you know. Pride's all over the place. And obviously that's something that the body needs to hear, because I know Pastor Katie, you know, she just preached on it. Pastor Michael, he's been preaching on it. Or, you know, so, I mean, it's something that's coming up. We need to take heed of that.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, when we hear something that comes up, well, actually, when we hear anything, we need to do our homework. But when you see something that comes up over and over and over and over again, that's something that we need to pay attention to. I mean, how many stop signs do you have to run before you get hit? The Lord's given us warnings because He wants to take us to a different level. But if we don't do it His way, we're not going to get there. Because He has the plan. And the third thing is, you overcome emotions by the Word. It's just that simple. Find the scriptures that speak to you in your life. Find the scriptures that you need. Pray for your pastor. He needs your prayers. Smite the shepherd, scatter the sheep. He's got a big bullseye. So we need to step up and pray for our pastors. Pastor Katie, too. Don't forget about her. She's an important part of this church. We'll go ahead and finish there. We'll pray. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you, Father. We thank you, Father, that your word is just so good. We thank you, Father, that you help us. You guide us. You direct us. You correct us. But it's all out of love. So we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, that your word is so rich. We thank you, Father, it's your word. It's no man's word. It's not a man's word. It's your word. But you gave it to every man. Just like you gave Jesus to every man. Every single person has a calling on their life. First and foremost, that calling is to get right with God. There's nobody exempt from that. Why would God send His only Son just to get some people back? No, God sent His Son to get all of mankind back. Because it was stolen from Him. God loves you so much. And He shows Himself to you every day. He just wants to bless you. And the only thing that He asks back is for you to love Him and to live right. I don't know everybody in here. But I know you enough to tell you about Jesus. Because I don't want anybody to go to hell. That place wasn't created for men. It wasn't. And it's sad that people go there every day. It needs to stop. We need to get the boldness and go out there and say, you know what? I just got to tell people about God because He's so good. He shows Himself in my life. He's redeemed me. And it's not about going to heaven, but it's about just spreading the gospel to all men. You could be an answer to someone's prayer. You could be the answer to prayer of someone praying for laborers to go through someone's life. But you just have to be bold enough to open your mouth and speak. We all get lead-ins every day. We all do. But I don't know everybody, so if you want a relationship with Jesus, I'm not gonna call anybody out. I'm not gonna bring you up forward. Notice I said relation. I didn't say religion. We're not here to play a religious game. We're not here to do ceremonial stuff. We're here to have a true, sincere relationship with God. He's real. Believe me, He's real. I've done seen too much to go back. So at this time, if you would like a relationship with Jesus, I'll ask you to raise your hand. I see that hand. Absolutely, I see that hand. God loves you. God loves you. He loves you. Praise you, Father. We have any other hands? You're not signing up to join the church. You're not signing up for anything. God just wants to welcome you to His family. Any more hands? No more hands? All right, at this time, repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, that You sent Your Son to die for me. I thank You, Father, that Jesus rose again and got the keys to death, hell, and the grave. I thank You, Lord, that I'm a new creation and old things have passed away. And I thank You, Father, that I'm forgiven to all my sins. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Father.
Glory to God. Amen. The word is good. Thank You, Reverend. Praise the Lord. Amen. I like that. I like that. I like a word that puts responsibility on the believer. Amen. You know, everything is already in place. The price has already been paid, but it's our participation in that that makes the difference. Amen. And I just wanted to share, to go along with that, I like how Reverend was talking about at the beginning, you know, different hidden agendas, and, you know, it's the weaknesses, you know, that are the pressure points, so to speak. We all have our responsibility. See, it comes down to the will of man. You know, Jesus, you know, thank God there was a nevertheless. You know, He says, not my will, but Yours be done. Amen. He had an opportunity to choose a different will. Amen. And sometimes, you know, there's things in our life that we, you know, would will to do, or we have a will or a desire, so to speak, to do things, but is that will lining up with the Word of God? Amen. And we have to find out what His will is for our lives. Amen. He has a blessed plan for your life, but it's a matter of getting plugged in. Amen. And putting our flesh down, putting our desires, our wants down, our plans, our purposes, and turning that over to Him. And I shared Sunday a little bit in the first part of 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. And the halfway down through the verse, it talks in verse 9, it says, "For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building," or God's garden. It says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon." In other words, the word came forward, but He says, let every man take heed what they do with what they've heard. Amen. Let them take heed how they build on the foundation that's already been laid through Jesus Christ. And he says, for the other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and that fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. He says, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? So, interesting enough, you can have the foundation of the Word, and you can come on a Wednesday and a Sunday to get the teaching, but it comes to, like Reverend said, when you go home, how are you building? What are you doing with the tools and the equipment that you received in church in the private times? Because when the fire comes, we'll all know, amen, and your reward's going to be based on how you build, amen. It's going to be tried by fire, so praise God. This is a check, amen. I'm blessed by that. I know that I got responsibility to be a good steward of the will that God has for my life, amen. So it's important how we build on that. But I'm so grateful for the Lord. I'm so grateful that Jesus stepped aside and said, your will was for me to reach a lost and dying world, to shed my blood, to go to the cross. He says, Father, take this cup from me. Don't have no fuzzy feeling right now. Don't want to do it. The stress and the anxiety are trying to get upon me. He said, nevertheless, I'm putting what I want aside. Nevertheless, your will be done. Amen. And we have to come to that point. There's that point where we're going to stand before the Lord, and it's going to be his will that he's going to be concerned about. And how'd you build on that? Amen. So I love that message. Praise the Lord. The word is good. Amen. Glory to God. We're going to go home and be doers of the word. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to go ahead and take an offering. It's right to give. Praise the Lord. I love that. We know in 2 Corinthians 8:9, he says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. Amen. Amen. And, you know, don't let that fool you. That word rich means abundantly supplied. But know that you have been made rich. And I say that every time that we give, we have to confess that we've been made rich. Someone can say, well, I'm not rich. Well, then we need to get you saved then. Because if you're saved and you're born again, then you've been made rich. It's not about the money you got in your account. It's not how many houses or vehicles you have. It's simply the fact that Jesus died and rose again, and he paid the price to make you rich. So you're rich. Amen. So we need to confess that every time that we give on a daily basis. I am rich. You know, it comes into the renewing of our mind. You have to have revelation or you'll go without. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So what you don't know will rob and steal from you, even concerning finances. So you need to know that you are rich here today. And know that when you're given to the Lord, you know, it matters how you get up and say, I am rich. Not like, bless God, here goes my money again. It's like, no, rich people don't act that way. And it's not a dollar amount. That's the thing. It's not a dollar amount. It's the simple fact that Jesus made you rich. So when you start releasing your words to connect with what he made you to be, that's where you get connection, amen? That's where the renewing of your mind comes into place. Glory to God. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Let's rejoice as we give. Father, Lord, we just bless you and thank you, Father. We worship and exalt you. We thank you. You're our good shepherd. We'll never lack. We thank you, Father, for your hand, for your supply, Father. We thank you that we're abundantly supplied, Father. We are rich. We've been made rich, Father. We give you the praise. We thank you because we're rich, that job opportunities come to us, promotions come to us, business dealings come to us, amen. Money comes to us in Jesus' name, Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory. We're just going to release our faith. Everyone repeat after me. Everyone say, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God is able to make all grace and earthly favor abound towards me in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Brothers, you may serve the people. Glory to God. Amen. The word is good. Amen. We're going to be doers of the word as we leave. Amen. As the offering buckets are going by, we will not be staying for prayer tonight. We're just going to dismiss right after service is over here. God bless you. Amen. Get plugged in. Looking forward. Release your faith for this Sunday service. Good stuff coming. Amen. God bless you all. You are dismissed.